Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival.
Welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show. Brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Rand, a.k.a. Dave from L.A. Just want to thank you all for listening today. We have a special show for you today. We have Wise Wednesday with Team Davis, Brother Davis and Sister Davis. And I'm looking forward to it because Brother Davis and Sister Davis, I just picked them up. And I just picked them up a couple of hours ago, maybe an hour and a half ago. And they're in my presence. I'm in their presence. It's amazing. And so I'm really looking forward to you all engaging in the conversation. I can't see what we posted in what's in the news. We're going to just bypass that. As you can only imagine, for Brother Davis and myself and Sister Davis to be in each other's presence, it's, you know, so we've been riding that high for a while, and we've just had a great meal. Brother Davis found a new restaurant that had his grand opening here in Dallas, and it is an amazing piece that the sisters have put together here. And Brother Davis will tell you about it, how he found it, and what his experience was. The food was outstanding. So we're at the restaurant now. So, but at any time, don't hesitate to give us a call today. What is Wise Wednesday? I'm going to take the Davis team back to the headquarters for FEMA Region Number 5 for the Wren family, and we're going to continue the overall show from there, and I'm looking forward to it all. So give us a call, 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032 pound, hit star 61, and we will definitely bring you up. If Scotty, if you can see the board, and just until we get back to our humble abode, if you would let us know if anyone calls. So this is a very, very special day for me, for us. Just so happy. And it just came about. Sister Davis and Brother Davis had texted me and said, hey, what are you going to be doing around 2:30? We may be in town. I said, I will reschedule everything that I have and I will be there. And I was able to pick them up, and actually Brother Davis suggested this great place that he's going to tell you about, that we decided to actually partake in some great food and just the overall energy. And it's the grand opening for this establishment, and we were the seventh customer, the seventh one that they served. And I truly know that that is not by coincidence. And so it's just so much. So we're looking forward to today's show. I don't have the my usual board in front of me, so there were some great articles that we posted there on BTR and Black Talk Radio Network community, so check that out. Very, very important. Some very, very important show articles that are there, but hey, we can get to that at the appropriate time. So everyone, if you'd like to give us a call, participate today, we'd love to hear from you. And Brother Davis and Sister Davis is here in Dallas in FEMA region number 5. We're going to be moving to my home, and we're going to continue the show en route to my home, and we're going to just enjoy each other's company. So would love for you to be a part of that. Brother Davis, I'm looking at him. And so I'm going to hand it over to Brother Davis. We're going to start to, and just remember now, you know, it's, today is a little different, so just bear with us. We usually have a regular set program that we have, so I think it'd be great for us to just enjoy each other without any programming, just where we can communicate and we can actually converse and actually engage each other's company, even though you all are not here, but you are here because your spirit is here. So without further ado, it's Wise Wednesday, a special Wise Wednesday for me. And it's I'm just happy. You should see, you know, Brother Davis, Sister Davis, we were just staring at each other for a while because this is the first time that we actually were able to have physical presence. But our spiritual connection has always been eternal, and it always will be, as it is with you all. So Wise Wednesday with Brother and Sister Davis. The Davis team is here in FEMA region number 5. We just had a great, great meal, and we're going to share everything that we have with you all. So without further ado, Brother Davis, I'm going to take you back to the house, and while we're on our ride there, just continue to just do what Wise Wednesdays has always done, and that is bring us some of the things that we need to have in our lives. And I know that today's show is about spirituality, because of the fundamental things that are going on that we need to reengage our overall spirit among ourselves and to intertwine them with each other. So, okay, without further ado, we're going to go to Brother Davis as I take them to my home. Brother Davis?
Okay, Davis, Brother Davis on a different line. Give me just a second. Yes, I do see the board. Or is he going to use your line? Okay, I think this is Brother Davis, this 717.
274. This is Brother Davis from Dallas. Ladies and gentlemen, I am honored to be in the company with one of those dear friends. You've heard me say many a time, it's always good to see the voice of a friend, to hear the voice of a friend. Well, it's better when you match the voice and the face at the same time. We are at the House of Senate in Dallas, Texas. This is one of the most unique restaurants we've been in a while. It's a natural foods restaurant, meaning that everything here is vegetarian. They do have select dishes that are deal with other different aspects. But let me tell you this. This is an ambiance that is well worth stopping if you're in this area. Down here at the House of Chemist, to believe me, the decor, the ambiance, the health, the hospitality, it's all been very, very, very warm and welcoming. And this is someplace to be a regular stop for me and my wife and family when we're in the Dallas area. I wanted to also say to you why I had the opportunity. Me and Brother Wren have been knowing and talking to each other for years and never had the opportunity that we have had today. And believe me, it is always good to meet the face behind the voice, because literally we build a relationship without knowing each other, which is powerful and spiritual in itself, than to be able to sit down and praise, break bread, and conversate. That is the attribute of true love blossoming in the real time aspect. So literally, if you get a chance, if you just get a chance to come to Dallas, this is one of the most unique restaurants I've been to in a while. And the Kemet Kitchen is a unique spot to come to. And believe me, the best part about it is that the food, the ambiance, and the atmosphere is all welcoming. So let's get to tonight's show, okay? Tonight's show, I want to just focus on spirituality. Why? Because we're going to come into a time in which a lot of the decisions that we make are going to be based upon what we're going through. So in order for us to have a balance of what is kind of going to be lost and what is going to be gained, we have to have a respect for the path that we traveled here to become a part of this plantation called Earth. Now, why do I say a plantation? Because literally, it wasn't meant to be a negative thing. This, everything that grows around us was given to us for a purpose. Even our beginning, when we started, we were a seed and an essence. That was it. And we were introduced to the process of rebirth. And you know the natural process, but let me tell you about the spiritual blueprint. The spiritual blueprint, when the sperm enters the egg, starts a cycle. And in that cycle, the egg starts to go in a circular motion. And why a circular motion? Because energy is constantly moving. So in that process, we are constantly moving over that period of time. The great creator's plan adds all that you need in the 9 months prior. All that you need, meaning physically and spiritually. Now, as you go through that process and you meet the time of your birth and are introduced into the world, you're a gift to the world. And the world is a gift to you. The benefit is when you have the examples, which you know already, your mother and your father, to be able to move you along in the life process. Because at that point, all you do is breathe and eat. Now, what's unique about that point? You learn life in an aspect that you never begin to totally understand. So let me help you. You learn to breathe at your most efficient point at that time in your life. Why? Because you're a child. So you really only know how to push and pull. Okay? You push air out and you pull air in. What's so unique about that process is that you will never do it finally again. Why? Because as a child, you didn't understand that the Creator was still operating in you. So when you push that air out, let me give you an understanding. You ever notice when a baby cries and it reaches that point of crying where you really can't hear, but you see that it's in the middle of letting the air reach its peak and it doesn't make a sound? And then all of a sudden, when it gets that air back in, that cry comes out as a roar again, because that was the body replenishing all the oxygen that the child needed in order to cry in the first place. So we never breathe as purely as that again. As we age, we begin to take on different aspects. And see what you need. As the child begins to mature and they begin to have a greater understanding of the world, their breathing process changes. Why? Because they no longer need to cry. So in not needing to cry as much, they don't breathe the same. Isn't that interesting? The Creator knew all and everything that you needed. And he said that in his unique way to your natural life process. And this is why it's so important for us to understand and value that that we seem of life. Then as you get older, you take on habits that literally teach you not to utilize your body to its fullest capacity. Now, how is that? Well, when you get sick, when you have a cough, your body is literally telling you that there's something it doesn't have that it needs. So therefore, it's changing the life process in order to meet the need of that area of sickness. Is your body constantly trying to reach a state in which the control
is being able to be rendered back to the body? Absolutely. But if there wasn't sickness involved, your body does that naturally. As you begin to grow, and you start to eating food, which you know, is that everything that natural that you put in your body distinguishes, it organizes, and it processes as you eat it. So when you chew it and it goes down, your body's breaking what you chew down, and it's taking the enzymes, and it's taking all of the energy beacons. Wow, I'm going to use the term beacons because literally if I told you it's changing that energy in the photons to move it to different aspects of your body, you would say to yourself, what is a photon? So a photon is the smallest cell in the body. And all of these cells, and there are billions of them, they all rely on the system to be able to work at its peak efficiency. Why? Because as you grow, your body has more and more demands. And those demands must be met if you're going to reach a stage when you can reach from childhood and adolescence, from adolescence to a young teenager. They're all functioning so that you can achieve the maximum amount out of everything natural you eat. I said before, habits determine nutrition. So if you have a habit of eating fast food, then you may like the taste of the fast food, but the fast food is not giving you the adequate nutrition that your body desires. And you know, you may not even realize that. See, that's what makes the uniqueness of the body and spirit come together, because everything that you do in the path of your growth becomes a part of your essence. And if you are making decisions that literally are not good for that process, then you literally are stemming your ability to enjoy it. A lot of people fail to realize that a simple habit that they may do can take away from the quality of life that they can enjoy. So for me to give you an understanding of the immense importance of our spirituality, I had to give you an understanding of why the human body must work in tune with your essence in order for your energies to be directed the right way. Now, we have a lot of byproducts to self. Okay, you have emotions. And a lot of people think, well, it's a plethora of them. Well, there's only 7 emotions. And when you think about it, you know that you're familiar with them all. There's happiness, sad, love, joy. There's anger. There's disappointment. You see, these things, anything can trigger off one of them emotions to put your thought process on a different route, if you allow it. And understand how I said that. Any one of a number of things can take your thought process based on an emotion into a different route. Now, I spoke to you before about how fear plays a role, because it is an emotion. Okay? But there is no, fear has no power like every other emotion unless you give it to it. If you give fear power, then you're taking away from your spiritual nature, because your spiritual nature has no reason to fear. Fear must be induced to your spirit. And for it to be induced to your spirit, that means you must, what? Submit to it. If you don't submit to fear, you would never know what it is. And that's why it's being used the way it is being used today. But let me move on, because then you have desires. And there's 6 desires. And our desires are sight, sound, smell, taste, feel, self, and body. Now, why do I say self and body? Because self, meaning spirit, and body, meaning the physical body. Now, y'all know, I don't have to go into a whole lot of detail about the physical body, because everybody has a different concept of it. But it brings clarity to it. If you have good habits that induce a healthy body, then your life will reflect that inside and out. If you have bad habits that induce a healthy body, then your life will reflect that inside and out. Let's go back to the child. When he was born and he was crying and he was breathing at his greatest capacity of oxygen consumption, we will never reach there again because our habits have taught us to do different. You ever get short-winded and all of a sudden you got to breathe into a bag so that you can really breathe in that carbon monoxide that you breathe out? Because what you're giving your body through fresh air, now you have to give it something that you can capture the air so that you can get your focus back. What focus? Your physical focus. Only because it's a part of the process of restoring your body to a state in which you are in a greater degree of control. And that's happened with people who might have had the wind knocked out of them or something like that to that effect, which happens. What I'm trying to get you to understand is that you are always in control. All right? That's the blessing. When you were born, you were not born into a world of confusion. The world was confused when you got here. You were born into a world of promise. You see? You were promised that every seed and herb-bearing fruit would bring life-giving resource to your body. Now, because of time and because of man, not everything that you eat gives your body resource. Now, I'll tell you that because these are your choices. You can make them however you please. But what is pleasing to your body is when you eat something and your body knows what it is. Because then your body can process it, right? And that right process will nourish it. But when you eat something and the body doesn't know what it is, the body tucks it away out of the way because the process must go on. And most of the time, it tucks it away in fat tissue or something that literally is a holding area or certainly can be considered a waste area because it's not functioning with that what it is that it doesn't identify. So it is important for us to understand that life in itself was a gift given to us for a purpose. Now, since we understand that literally we should be enjoying every minute of life, we get into the aspects of life. And the aspects of life include all of the programs that are running today. You don't have to jump from program to program, but we do. And the reason why we do is because most of us are used to it. They come in the house to watch the TV. You heard me say before, we need to learn to control our heart, meaning what we want to do for us, by us. Because when we control it, we can achieve that which we seek to take from it. And you know how you people are, weekends come, you finally get some downtime. How many of you think, well, you know what, this week I'm going to take some time. I might even take an hour to meditate, or I'm going to go out of my garden. I'm going to pull some of those grapes and those sort of things. I'm going to start them in the process where I can clean them and put them in some water, maybe add a little lemon juice to it, let it sit overnight. Tomorrow morning I wake up and I had me a nice refreshing drink to start the day that's totally alkaline. No. You know what you're bombarded by? The programs. Oh, man, what you got planned for the weekend? Well, I want to go to the football game, man. Program. Well, we're going to the clubs. Program. Why are they programs? Because they're taking your resources. Think about it. If you go to watch the football game, how much of your resources, other than time, are you going to lose? And you're going to lose time because you're going to do you're going through the formality of watching the game. So if you're eating there and they're selling food, you're going to give up your resources for the food. Or maybe you want to contribute. But you're not asking yourself the questions that you need to be asking yourself. The questions you need to be asking yourself is, well, if I do this here, is this food going to edify me? Is it going to be good for my body? And if so, how much do I want? And do I want to spend what they're asking?
You see, this is the operation of a person that is conscious of what they're trying to achieve. So I wanted to give you that much, because as the show goes on, I want you to call in and talk about your program and how you've changed it for you, and the reason why you changed it for you. And the reason why is because there are a lot of people out here who are running programs and they don't think there's anything they can do about it. Oh, I have to do this. How many of you heard that? Oh, I got to get that. And they don't think about it in reference to what they're saying. And what they're saying is they're willing to sacrifice what their body needs for something they feel that they have to have that has nothing to do with the nutritional aspect of a good quality life, nor the spiritual aspect of maintaining a good quality of life. Those are our responsibilities on the spiritual side. And the reason why I keep going back to the spiritual side is because we have been tricked. And I will speak about the tricks, the spiritual tricks that are being played on us on a daily basis after the break. But I wanted to get you to a point where you start focusing on yourself and you see how many programs you're running in, okay? And you see how you're staying in your lane so these programs can continuously run. How many of your teen church have you bought? I know, I used to be you. Man, football come, I had my gear on and everything. Before I was informed, I was you. And this is why I could take the time and tell you that I've been where you are, and it gets better when you start identifying. I was reading an article the other day. A man said, I stopped smoking, but you know what I did? Every time I'd buy a pack of cigarettes, I put that money away instead of buying a pack of cigarettes. And at the end of the year, I have $5,000-some-odd. Think of the dynamic of what he just identified. He left the program of destruction, and make no mistake, that's what it is. Even though it may not be immediate, it always ends, in most cases, in destruction. But instead of him following that program, he took that money and he put it away. And every time when he would used to go buy a pack of cigarettes, he took that money and put it away, and he ended up saving himself $5,000-some-odd a year. And then he looked in the mirror and said to himself, I haven't smoked for 15 years. Do the math. When you wake up, there's always a part of you that is going to regret the time that it took you to wake up. But the joy is in that you woke up. Brothers and sisters, new, we're about to come up on a break. I want you to feel free to pick up the phone, call me, tell me your experiences. Tell me, did you identify the importance of your spiritual nature? And I will tell you, after the break, why we have been bamboozled and why is it working? This is Davis on Wise Wednesdays. Do pick up the phone and call in. We are looking for your involvement.
Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium.
Okay, welcome back, y'all. And listen, I'm going to tell you something. I'm having a great time. I'm in the company of my wife and my close friend and confidant, Brother Dave. And you know what's unique about that is that a lot of times, you know, you have this image of a person that you may have never met, but you've established a relationship with. Well, I've only had an opportunity to see him in pictures and hear his voice. But to sit beside this brother and be able to converse face-to-face is truly, truly a blessing to me today. But look, let me get back to the show because I want y'all to understand that we all have habits. Not all the habits are good and not all the habits are bad. But we have to identify what they are so that we can be in control. And why do we want to be in control? Because when we're not in control, that habit may have an attribute or a side effect that you don't identify until it's causing you a problem. So let me give you an idea because I'm going to tell you something. My next statement is going to hit home to a lot of people, okay? When I was a younger man, I enjoyed the experience of the essence of marijuana. And believe me, Brother David used to smoke the bud, okay? Now, as I was into that era, I mean, I was doing very well. I was making good money. I had a lot of things going on. Okay, well, look, let me, my wife is in my ear, so let me tell you when I got started, okay? I was in the bush in Vietnam. I was in war. And a lot of times, there was no break. For those of you who don't know, I don't want to get into the total devastationness of it, but when I say no break, I mean, we were recon, and our job was to go out and map enemy positions. Night or day, we had to disappear and blend in order to get the information back to headquarters so that they could spearhead different attacks. Well, it wasn't our purpose to be in any type of confrontation at all. Because we went out and formed fire teams, which is what they called them, literally, all our job was to do was to get in as close to the enemy as we could, get as many numbers as we can, and get right back out. And I got relatively efficient at this. And one of the unique things about that is that you live in a constant state of awareness. I mean, if a person was close to you, you knew it. If a person was away from you but within eyesight, you knew where they were. That meant that you were in a constant state of awareness. So when I did have some downtime, I was introduced, and this is well after I got out of high school, I was introduced to ganja. And I'm going to tell you something. That first experience, it was called the vacation right here at home. Now, why did they call it the vacation right here at home? Because in most cases, you went to a place that was secure, and literally, when you did that ganja, when you woke up, whenever you woke up, and sometimes people had to wake you up, that was like being away on a vacation. So it took your mind away from what you were doing there, okay? Let's move forward. Came back to the States. Literally, a lot of the experiences that I had were very disrespectful to me. Had no idea who I was, what I did, what I represented, but yet the world was against war. Well, I was against war too. It wasn't my choice to be there, but yet still, I mean, I had to deal with the vengeance, anger, and the very demeaning behavior of the citizenry. Wasn't at that. So when I got a chance to just
unload, I take off all my gear and try to get the war behind me. I sought out some weed. I was thinking out the good stuff. So sometimes, I'll start in the morning and stop at night when I was asleep. And I didn't even think about the money I was spending. Because literally, at that time, I just had this ability to make money. Or at least make the money I needed to do what I wanted to do. Let me say that. Because I didn't have excessive amounts, but I managed it well. And for a couple of weeks, turned into a couple of months, turned into a couple of years, then a decade went by. And I'm saying to myself, I got to do something better with my life. I was having a lot of problems mentally, and I was finally starting to really get a grip about putting myself into a work ethic and literally working again. And I was fortunate enough that I had a family who had a silver business, and I got into the family business, and I was making silver and everything. I'm still getting high now, but now I had more than a lucrative income. Okay, so as things developed and a lot of different transitions happened over a period of time, I met this girl who was so shy, and she was very, very articulate, and I kind of was attracted to her, but we became friends first. And I don't think that was the greatest thing that ever happened to me, because then she could talk to me as a friend could talk to me. And there wasn't no entanglement at that time. We weren't trying to get busy or nothing. We were just friends. But as time went by and I watched her and I seen how she dealt with all of the people in her family, and how I met her father and her brothers and all of that, I watched the tenderness of this woman take me over. And I wanted to be closer to that. And I wanted to have a part of that in my life. And believe me, I have not looked back. But the first thing she said to me is, look, I plan on being married in a year, 2 years at the most. So that ain't in your plan. Don't waste my time. So I looked at her and I said, okay, well, it's not out of the realm of possibility. Now, I understand this. In the back of my mind, I'm thinking, I'm in a point in my life where I'm going to call the child dead. But I don't even let you know that, okay? I married that woman in 18 months. You see the dynamics of working here? A lot of times, you have to make the decisions that are best suited for you. And I say that to say what? Told you about the marijuana and that addiction. I was spending a lot of money with that. I was spending so much money with that. At one point, she looked at me and told me straight up, look, you got to get away from this guy. You got to either leave it alone or leave me alone. I mean, this is real talk. And it didn't, listen, if it wasn't for her compassion and her tolerance, I may not have been the man I am today. Certain things she could see in me that I didn't see in myself, and certain things that I could see in her that she may have very well known they were there, but she knew that these were the things that were attracting me to her. So after we got married, 35 years, that speaks for itself. So you can tell it's been very beneficial to me. So we have to look at our lives from the standpoint of what is beneficial to us. But in that time, when I was indulging in those habits that I didn't need to have, I threw away a lot of money. Fortunately, she hung in there. And you know what? Sometimes when we talked, several years ago, I was like, what was it? She said, baby, I knew when you told me something that I'll never forget. I said, what's that? She said, you told me I needed you. And now, this far down the line, and we are as far as we are now, she said,
I'm beginning to understand just how much I need you. Now, can you imagine how that made me feel? Please. She might as well have rolled the carpet all out on the throne. Because I'm going to tell you, I was ready to be king now, take total authority. I'm going to say, I was so deep involved, I bought my own tractor trailer. I come home with a big fat check to here. And she would look at me and say, okay, what do you want to do? And I'll say, whatever you want to do. And she was always good at what she did, so I didn't mind. But this is the type of opening in my life that I'm trying to get you to see, that a good decision brings a plethora of benefits. So, I had the bad habits that everybody else had, so Brother Davis ain't no exception. I went through the whole military thing, like many other did, and to this day, I sit back and look and say to myself, what the hell were you thinking? But I survived, and many of my comrades did not. So life is a constant learning process. And that's why I have to get you to understand the importance of your spirit. Because now we are coming up on some very, very undesirable times. We have a great value in self. Your worth to me as a human is beyond your ability to understand. And the reason why is because I see more of myself being exposed to the things that good, sought-after knowledge and living a life that is trying to be as close to godly as I possibly can. Now, when I say godly, I mean I follow the principles of my art as close as I can. That's 42 principles. And my wife validates me because she tells me when I'm messing up, and she gives me strength to stay focused on what I'm trying to achieve. And sometimes she'll just look and just shake her head and say, brother, you got that. But to me, that is her saying, go ahead, you eat. And I'm taking that lead. I take on all of that responsibility. Now, sometimes, just like everybody else's relationship, I don't want you to think we are beyond human. We do not see eye to eye, but that's fine. Because we can at least converse and find solution that is befitting for both people involved. So, and all of those people out there that are listening, who are disconnecting with the fact that they might have something that's holding them back because they choose that flavor or that savor, look and see what it's doing to your life. Is it adding to it, or is it taking away? Because we're moving into such diverse times now that those become important questions. You have to understand, when this woman looked at me and said, either that got to go, or I got to go, that was an important question. And I had to make a decision that was suitable. And we are all going to be pushed in that position. It may not be the same as mine was, but it may be something that you really would rather not deal with. We have wives, daughters, sons, families. Some of us see eye to eye, some of us don't see eye to eye. How far are we going to let that get out of our control? Or how far are we going to go before we take a serious position where we have to implement change or come up with a program that will get us to the solution that we want and not the circumstance that we are in. So, brothers and sisters, listen, I'm encouraging you, call. I don't want you to think I'm abnormal. I want you to do know that my change in my life wasn't because I was ready to change. And most people who are leaders are not leaders because they want to be leaders. The changes in their life force them in a position where they must make a stand.
And I have a question.
Making that stand, they find a solution for their circumstance. Is there a call to Cascotti?
No. Since there are not any calls, I mean, nobody has a question or a comment for you. But I do. I have a question.
Okay, well,
Come on with it, man.
Okay, as I was listening to you speak, and this isn't the first thought I've had, you remind me so much of my father because y'all seem to be on a parallel path. And you may have even met him because he and his wife were team drivers for over 30 years, and both of them just recently retired in probably the last three. But similar path, drafted into Vietnam. He was 11 Bravo. He wasn't recon. He was just regular grunt. So he had that experience. He talked to me about the things he got into. And then when he got out, he got into trucking and did it until he retired. He lives in Charlotte. Him and his wife both live in Charlotte. So you kind of remind me of my father a whole lot, Brother Davis, and some of the things I've heard you talk about. But there is one thing, though. I have to ask you the question, why do you consider cannabis use a bad habit?
Well, I never said it was a bad habit. What I said was I had bad habits. Some people don't see it as a bad habit. I see it as a bad habit now because I've evolved to understand that literally it hinders me from being the person I could be. But when I was doing it, I didn't even give it a thought. You understand what I'm saying? So when I say it's a bad habit, it was a bad habit for me. Okay?
Right, okay.
Some people do it every day now.
Right, but so that's just the clarity I was looking for. It was a bad habit for you. And you did say people have to examine the things in their life and determine what's bad, because my father was wounded. He got shrapnel in his back, and he almost got hooked on those opioid drugs, Oxycontin, because that's what they was giving him for his chronic back pain from his wound. So he started using cannabis and has used cannabis to manage his pain. And I also was just thinking, you know, you were saying, and he told me some of the same things, that when they would go into, I forgot what he called it, but when they went into the bunker or whatever to partake of cannabis, that was an escape. That was R&R. You know, because he explained similar things, how they were just constantly, there was no let up. Death was always, you know, just right around the bush, so to speak. And so, I look at his use of cannabis for his back pain and being able to manage it and then not get addicted to, like, so many people we see now who have graduated, once the doctor cut them off, graduate to heroin and things of that nature. Now, I do understand the cost that you were speaking about, but as when they criminalize something, then the street market is what drives that cost up. And so I'm just happy to see now that a lot of people are, a lot of states are moving towards legalizing and recognizing the fact that this plant has medicinal purposes. And I also wonder, Brother Davis, and I can just tell you what my father told me. We know now that doctors prescribe cannabis to these returning veterans for their PTSD. And so I'm also wondering if for that period you were using, with the stress that you were under in Vietnam, if that helped you survive that period and deal with your PTSD, had you considered that?
Well, let me say this here. It did. Because you have to understand, that was a medication for me. And the reason why it was a medication for me, because I was tired of dealing with military. I could have went to the VA. I never went to the VA. I don't think I went to the VA until I might have been 55 or so. But you have to understand, when I came back, I told you I was a heavy marijuana smoker. But that's how I tamed my violent nature. Because literally, there's a lot of anger involved. And people fail to realize that because they don't have that experience. But I'm quite sure you're dead. Probably said to you from time to time, you know what, it's the time of my life I had to adjust to, but if I could have do it again, I wouldn't have put myself in that situation. But yet he didn't ask to go. They came to him. And at that time, you have to understand what Black America's about at that time. So when they came, you heard the call. At that time, we conformed. When Muhammad Ali stopped
that was the wake-up call to let us realize, you know, we could have did that. We didn't even think about that on that level.
His reason, Brother Davis, for going was he was 27 years old. That was kind of old to be drafted. And he had a family.
Yes.
His first wife is not my mother, but he had a family and three children and was working, gainfully employed. But he didn't think that his little brother, who was 19 at the time, could survive, and so he volunteered to go in his place, because I understand they can only take one sibling from a family.
Yeah, at that time, you're absolutely right. At that time, and see, my the reason why I was called, because my two older brothers was beyond that age, and I was at the stage where I was fresh out of high school. I was gung ho, and I had a younger brother who was like 3 years behind me, so. If I've made the decision to go, I don't have to worry about him having to be put in that position. And I'm going to tell you something, brother. That those are the sort of things that we as family men had to think about at that time. And literally consider making a decision based on all of those factors. So, yeah, I could identify what exactly your father was talking about.
And he also, we also on my dad's side, and he spent some time in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. So I'm wondering, during your travels out there, you know, meeting other truckers, being that he was out there so long, you was out there so long, I mean, I should say he and his wife, did you ever happen to come across somebody by the name, he goes by Green, is his nickname, that's what they call him, Green King, but his name is Celester King. And his wife's name was Wendy.
Okay, let me ask you this here, to be easier for me to ask, did they have a CV handle?
I wouldn't know it. He didn't tell me if he did.
See, a lot of times when we got together in different places, we called ourselves by our handles. A lot of times we didn't really get into, unless you were really close with that particular trucker or that team, you called them by their handle because that's what you knew them by. And so say you stopped and had a beer, went out for dinner, there was nothing to just refer to them by their handle. That was the trucker genre at that particular time. To this day, I run across some friends that I've made, a holy man who's actually a minister at a church back in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. What's his name? Hollywood, who from Hollywood, Tennessee, and he liked the Dallas Cowboys, and back then, at that time, Hollywood Henderson played for. So see, all these here different dynamics would come into play and meeting different truckers on the road. So I can't say no, because I've met so many. I couldn't begin to tell you if I had or hadn't. But let me say this here. One of the things I've always liked about trucking is that you meet a lot of people. You meet a lot of people. And there's a lot of good people out here. That's why a lot of times you hear me say we need to build alliances, because not everybody is what they're projected to be from one angle or another. Sometimes when you meet them people, they're entirely different from what you might have perceived them to be through the way you met. So, yeah, I can identify with what you say, Brother Scotty. I can identify. Is there any more questions?
No, thank you. If the callers who are on the board have a question or comment for Brother Davis, hit *6 and 1 on the keypad. We'll bring you in. Still got about 7 minutes for a break, so okay. You have time to get it.
In this seven minutes, I want to tell you that we are spiritual people. And I'm going to tell you why.
There we go, Brother Davis. There we go. Got a call.
Okay, let's ring it on.
Eric Cole, 614, hello? You're on Tando Radio Show. Go ahead with your question or comment for Brother Davis.
Hello, how y'all doing today?
Good evening, brother. Good evening.
All right, is y'all still talking about the green situation?
The green situation? What do you mean the green situation?
Y'all was talking about ways, you're talking about the war and how guys, you know, would use the cannabis.
Well, actually, that was attributed to tonight's conversation, because I was using myself as a example, because I was one of those people. But if you have something you want to add, we'll receive that.
Okay. I think that helps, and just dealing with I can consider today's society a wartime environment. I don't know if you guys agree or disagree with that. But I think it needs to be talked about, the mental health or the mental issues that me, maybe amongst others, may be dealing with, just in navigating normal everyday activities and objectives, whether it be through work or, you know, just everyday interaction. Have you guys seen an increase in, I mean, we hear about the incidents where, you know, people go crazy and, take to the streets, but, you know, just how it affects the average everyday guy. I remember someone saying, how you could be a U.S. attorney, a legislator, you know, man of great substance, hear police sirens behind you, see the sirens in your rearview mirror, and not out of guilt, but just out of reaction due to the environment that we live in. You clutch your steering wheel, you know, that reactionary. I think that's a result of, you know, being in a traumatic situation or society. And I think a lot of people are affected and may or may not be conscious of that. How you guys feel about that?
Okay, let me ask you this here, brother. Mm-hmm. See, it seems like you're touching on something very personal to you. Do you feel like you go through this roller coaster of emotions when you hear the police behind you or see a red light?
Yeah, of course, as a black man. It would be logical. Not that I'm stopped. Very rarely stopped, but when I see, you know, a policeman, that thought goes through your head. Or, you know, one so happens to be behind you, whether the light's on or not. You just, wow, how many people have been in this situation and not made?
Oh, brother, listen, I can identify. And the reason why I tell you I can identify is because I'm black like you. And right now, with what has been happening to black people with something as basic as a traffic stop, is bizarre. So I understand exactly what you're saying, but let me ask you this here. Yeah, any given time, do you feel as though if you were stopped, you would not know how to conduct yourself in order to drive away at the end?
I can evade conflict, but I've seen so many situations where, let's go Florida, and the care worker, with the autistic patient, how much more submissive and cooperative can you be? It seems like there isn't a right way. It's a dice roll. That's how I feel.
Brother, you know what? You are absolutely right. I don't want to give you the wrong impression. Look, I drive a truck for a living, and then when them cops pull people on the side of the road, when I ride by, I look. I'm going to tell you how far I've gone. I went out and got me a telephoto lens for my cell phone because I feel that there might come a time where I might have to pull over and just record. Not because I'm nosy, but because in reality, we are our brother's keeper. And sometimes that literally could put you in a situation where, according to whoever it is that you're filming, may characterize you as something that is not has anything to do with what you're doing, but can literally put you in a very precarious situation. I identify, brother. But if you think that I could say something to you that is going to make one of those stops easier, it's not, because we all, as black men, have to be more than focused when that happens to us, because we know that if we allow it, it will go awry. One of the things I've been saying it for ever since this started, is we must not get emotional, because they see us as emotional beings. And if they interpret what they see as being emotional, they're also going to interpret it as being life-threatening. And the sad part about it is neither of those things might have come into play. But yet, there's a man that's been victimized by death. And these people, all they're saying is, I feared for my life. And that's ridiculous. How can you fear for your life when you're the one with the gun?
Exactly.
I identify what you're saying, brother. I identify what you're saying. But let me say this here. This really isn't the show for this conversation. But you're right, it's needed. And I'll tell you what I will do. I will sit down with the producer of the show, and I'll tell him that the public is demanding us to at least start trying to arm our brothers as best we can from a position of spiritual awareness and knowledge. But let me make something perfectly clear. Some of these stops in which people die, some of them people did everything right. And
right.
The result was still the same. So listen, but I tell you what, give me the courtesy of calling Monday or Tuesday, during Monday or Tuesday show, and you talk to Dave, and let's see if we can't set up a show where you could literally, that could be the topic, people could call in, and we can converse back and forth about that. Because I do think it needs to be brought to the forefront so people can have a thought to put in that situation.
Right,
okay?
Great.
Okay, but listen, brother, my name is Brother Davis. I do Wise Wednesdays. Give Dave Wren a call on Monday or Tuesday during the course of his show, and that way we can converse about it and work it into our schedule and maybe even possible advertise it ahead of time so that those people who want to be a part of that show can be there and be on time so that if they want to call in, they can voice their opinions and their experiences too, because that only helps the whole when people come forth with their information. Okay?
Thank you.
Okay, it's Brother Davis on Wise Wednesday. Call up, pick up the phone, answer your questions, or talk to your circumstances. This is Brother Davis coming at you. Thank you, Scotty.
Radio since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Because Westernism doesn't teach anything about spirituality. Why? It doesn't serve the purpose. But think about it. Would you do something that does not serve your purpose? They don't think about the overall effect that it has on people not knowing their spirituality. So in order to be able to grasp that essence of you that literally seeks to know more about their spirituality, they introduced you to religion. Interestingly enough, and those people who are religious, I have nothing negative to say about it, because that's your choice. And I can only honor your choice because it's yours. Once again, we're coming back to making the decisions that are best suited for us. But the reason why was because you have an inherent spiritual nature. And that inherent spiritual nature is seeking all the time. So, in order to be able to control that spiritual nature, there had to be something in place that allows that seeking to spread its wings, to allow that seeking to find a substance, to allow that seeking to take a direction. But your seeking isn't to be controlled, and if it is controlled, then you're really not being able to experience the realm of your spirituality, because now you are placed in the realm of religiosity. And there's nothing wrong with that if that gives you what you want. But it will not expose you to all that you could be spiritually. And if you don't believe me, ask a question that they don't want to answer. They're not going to tell you where to go get that answer. Why? Because it will take you away or out of the spiritual realm, out of the religious realm. Although it's a spiritual question, they don't want you to leave the religious realm. Because in the religious realm, there's fellowship. In the religious realm, there's guidance. In the religious realm, there's community. In the religious realm, there are people of like-mindedness. And they are doing the same thing. They are confining themselves to the limits of the religious realm. And if that's your choice, that is fine. But what about those who evolve to understand there is a spiritual realm? And the spiritual realm doesn't put those controls on you. If you want to go out and learn about yourself in the spiritual realm, you can start on the physical level. If you want to learn about yourself in the spiritual realm, there are attributes and avenues that open those things up. No two people travel the exact same path. So therefore, in order for them who are religious to be able to find comfort and confidence in what they do, they have fellowship, they sing, they dance, and they follow the rules of the religious realm. See, in the spiritual realm, you have to be self-reliant. You have to do some due diligence. You have to ask questions, and then you have to seek the answers. Because in the religious realm, they want you to grow. Now, I don't want you to get the impression that they don't want you to grow in the religious realm. They do. They want you to grow at the rate in which you can be conformative in your speech, your behavior, and your life patterns. In the spiritual realm, when you open the door, you begin to realize there is a spiritual realm. And you do have a spirit. And this is a birthright. In the religious realm, you must choose your religion. In the spiritual realm, you have a right to tap into the level of teachings that upon which you seek, that are based on the teachings of oracles. Oracles like the Metameter, Chinese speaker the I Ching. And the I Ching, literally, that's where Confucian derived concepts. Then you look at the India, and the India have the Sakura or the Shakura method. But these are what they call oracles, in which those religions allow people, or should I say, well, they're considered religions, but those spiritual systems allow people to examine themselves with tools that allow them to see inwardly in spite of what's going on outside and around them. One of the tools I use, and I've taught about many times on this show, is meditation. And I find it to be very, very useful, because literally I can incorporate what I learn into my life, because I don't have the confines of the so-called Ten Commandments. Okay? Now, the reason what makes spiritual realm different from the religious realm is that you do not have people to tell you how far you can go in the spiritual realm. You see, in the religious realm, you have people who are going to say, you can't go outside the Ten Commandments. But yet, they have what's called forgiveness. So if you do go outside, you can be forgiven. So let me get this and let you get this right. If you literally break one of the Ten Commandments, you can go to your spiritual realm in prayer and seek forgiveness and receive forgiveness at no cost to you other than prayer. In the spiritual realm, there are confines in which you have to choose. What does that mean? If you choose wrong or negative, you will get that result. If you choose right or positive, you will get that result. You don't have to answer to anybody but you. Now, we live in a society that literally we have to be able to live in the commune with the others, okay? That's why they call it communities, all right? Now, if you are judging someone by their religiosity or their spiritual, you're against all aspects of religion and spirituality, because literally you shouldn't be judging. You should be growing. So you literally have reached a point where now you are incorporating tyranny in the teachings that you're going by. We must understand that if we stay on a religious path or a spiritual path, we must do this for self. Whatever your reasons are your reasons. Could I debate them either or? I have done many times. But making you or offending you would not be a blessing to you. Everybody must choose. Just like I was speaking earlier about the right things to eat, it's the same way on your spiritual level. If you open yourself up to your spirituality, that's your choice. If you decide to open yourself up to your religiosity, that's your choice. I don't have to live with your choices. I have to live with mine. And that's why it comes back to self. It is important that we learn this, because now we are coming on some very diverse times. And these times are going to be changing daily. Because for those of you who know, those of you who don't know, that this election is going to be pivotal on the next 4 to 10 years. Regardless of who wins, there's more likely chance that we're going to have a foreign war and a domestic war. And the domestic war will not be war as we've known war to be, because guess what? We have never known war. As a society, we have never known war. That civil war that they had back then, that's very minute to the power of destruction today. So that's why I'm going to say we have never known war the way it could be. So it is best that we examine ourselves now on whatever level we are on, whether it be a spiritual level or a religious level, or a religious level or a spiritual level, because I'm going to tell you something, nobody is going to save you but you. Now, some of you might feel that that is against your teachings, and please don't be offended by it. Because when that truth comes to you, that may be what you must remember. No one will save you but you. So you have to be prepared to make those decisions at that time. And the decisions are going to come. We cannot get around it. So I'm imploring you, do not be offended. Pick up the phone and put the question out there, or bring your experience here. Because whatever you decide to do may be a burden released to someone else. And you may need to hear truth from somebody who's going to give you the truth. Because see, when I give you something, I'm going to give you the resource to go look for yourself. Because that way, it becomes a revelation to you. You see, I don't need that revelation. Because I need revelations on other levels. That's not the revelation I need.
Brother Davis.
But I do need to. Yes, brother.
On that saying, because I've heard it a lot about people praying and expecting a sky god or something to come save them, but those people either have not comprehended what they've been taught. I'm talking to people who subscribe to Christianity or the teachings of the Bible, whether you're talking about Old Testament or New Testament. So I'm talking to those people, but you're either misinterpreting or you've been mistaught. There is, you can pray, but you had to put action to it. So let me give you a simple example. I can pray that I'm going to win the lottery, okay? But if I don't never buy the lottery ticket, then how is my prayer going to be answered? I have to, whatever I think in my mind that I want, I have to do what I have to do in the physical to give that the best chance of manifesting. Now, if it manifests, some people might say, yeah, that was God or the creator, or you might look at it like, hey, this action that I took put me in a perfect position for things to go my way. So the scripture says faith without works is dead. So that means you can have all faith that in the world, in your prayers to whoever you praying to, but if you don't put no work behind that in the physical, it ain't happening.
You're absolutely right, Scotty, and I couldn't have said it more eloquently. Because in reality, like you said, you can't hit the lottery without thinking. So don't think that because that you practice a religiosity, that something or someone is going to come to your aid when you need them, when you determine your need. Now, if you believe that something or someone knows all and does all and is going to be there, I'm not going to try to discourage you. And the reason why I'm not going to try to discourage you is because I could speak to, I'm blue in the face, but your testimony is going to be your testimony. And many people have been dying, seeking someone to come and give them the cure for a disease, make the cancer go away. And these people have been devoured in their religiosity for years. So if that light doesn't go on in a person's life after seeing that, so be it. But that only deals with that person. It doesn't deal with the person when that light goes on and they change and you go to them and say, what did you do that for? And they say, well, the light, and they're saying, no, because what you're doing is blasphemous. It's going to be, they are still connected to that concept of God, and you have evolved, and that will happen. So if the person feels that they want to sustain the tradition of religion, so be it. But for those people who are seeking and waking up spiritually, and it's happening by the multitudes, or the churches wouldn't be talking about it. Those people that are waking up on those levels should have open conversation, not debate. Understand how I said that. Open conversation. You see, Christianity wants debate because you don't have to prove nothing. It all comes down to faith. But in open conversation, facts can be brought to the forefront. And in order to bring facts to the forefront, you got to use something else more than mine. So literally, to them, that would make their conversation mute. So therefore, they don't want it that way.
So please, I tell people all the time, what do you do? If you are going to live in the understanding of religiosity, that's where you find your joy, so be it. But if I've been given a choice, I want to know as much and whatever I can that is going to serve me so that I can be functional for me. Because that's what it's about, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters. Don't take this lightly. Anytime you make a decision that is not to your benefit, you are at risk. And when you hear people say faith requires action, and you have to ask yourself, what kind of action are you doing? Because in order for you to have faith, and maybe you ought to think about if your mind.
Yeah, Brother Davis, we're having issues with that line that you're on. It's been doing it going in and out, but it's starting to get bad now, and then it comes back. If there's another line available, if that's possible, but just want to make you aware that you're going in and out. I don't know what your signal looks like or anything.
Well, I'm in here. At the end of the commercial, I have myself on a different line and see if that worked out better. How's that?
I did not hear what you said until the last 3 seconds. You said you were going to try something.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, at the end of the commercial.
Okay. Is David there? Brother Dave, you there? Brother Dave.
Brother Dave and let me say that. I'll try to get his attention. He's coming up now. But why do you think I should just his line?
Yes, because he has a clear line, or I was trying to get him to come on and speak while you try to reserve those issues, because we've still got 8 minutes till the break.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Let me.
Yeah, you just went out again. So if you can grab his line.
I'm here.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, brother. Let me carry this phone.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
With your phone.
Okay.
Okay. We're on Brother Dave's phone. We'll eliminate my line altogether. Okay. Getting back to that train of thought that I was on in reference to religiosity and spirituality, we are going to have to face the dilemma of making the decision. If you are conversed and decided that you are comfortable with your decision, that's fine. Because your decision doesn't affect me, it affects you. What is important? You are concretely believe in the circumstance you're in, because understand this, in your time of need, that's all you may have. And if it's all you may have, be sure that it works for you. Because I'll tell you something, I've seen some things in my time, and we are dealing with the most ruthless human that ever walked the earth. Just look at some of the images of tyranny during the course of slavery. Now, I don't know if you know it, but there's going to be 1 million NATO troops in the United States over the next 3 to 6 months. 1 million. Now, that's a small number compared to the size of the population, but it can still do some devastation. And these people have no alliance to Americans at all. Believe me, we're going to go through some serious times. You're going to have to ask yourself some serious questions. And if confronted, your answer may lead to your death. I'm just making you aware of it because I have prepared. Me and my wife discussed this many times. And I told her, I said, don't worry, baby, because you know me. I'm going to try to do the right thing, but I can't live as a slave. Well, if I have the choice, I will die on my feet. And if the last thing that I die for is protecting my queen or my children or my way of life, then my life would have been worthy of making the decision for the sacrifice.
because these are the times that we are in. Why do you think it is so important that I say, speak about spirituality and religiosity in such blatant terms? Because these are all we will have at some point as our tools. So you must be sure that you're as proficient as possible with the tool you're working with. And that's why the shows like this here, although we don't have enough of them, because I'm going to tell you now, Westernism has us so psychologically messed up, damaged. Literally. Now, every time you turn around, you hear about a new disease. You hear about a new dysfunction. And you know what? There may not be one, but they're going to tell you that because you're so psychologically messed up that you will believe them, and even some of you will find those traits in your life. And they may have nothing to do with you. So I'm just trying to be for real. Because guess what? I don't have to know you to love you. See, that's one thing I like about spirituality. I don't have to know that he loves you. I love you because you just breathe. If there's any way I can help you, I would. If you were walking down the street and you happen to be looking down at your iPod or whatever, and I was close enough and you was walking down the street, I'm going to reach out and grab you. I ain't got to know you to say, hey, yo, man, watch the traffic. See, that's what's called humanism. You see, I didn't want to move this quickly, but we have gotten away from humanism by all of the distractions, all of the techie toys, all of the false philosophies that we live by. Oh, yeah. Now, don't get me wrong. Life still evolves. But how many times have you seen people treat people in inhumane ways? Pick up the paper. You see it all the time. How about the guy who rapes women with the police officer? That's inhumane. How about the guy that you seen in the paper the other day who had all that pornography, or child pornography, on his computer and tried to connect with a 13-year-old girl? That's inhumane behavior. And society wants you to accept inhumane behavior in spite of the religiosity and the spirituality that is alive and well. We still deal with inhumane behavior, deviant nature that is destructive to anybody that gets in its path. You know, sadly enough, there was a post on Facebook the other day I was reading, and the guy was a pedophile, and he was talking about how seriously he took pedophilia. He would watch the playgrounds with a binocular for hours because he couldn't go within 100 feet of a playground. He would use binoculars. And check this out. When the kids would walk home from school, he tried to trick them. He put Kool-Aid stands out. He sold candy. This guy was a master predator. But yet, he lives within our society. We have to wake up, people. Something is not working. And see, I hear Christians talk about the Ten Commandments and the lawgiver. Well, every religion has commandments. Every religion has a lawgiver. Do your research. And all of them are in the midst of war and destruction. Who is fooling who? If we are going to be for real about the gifts of our lives, the way I spoke to you about in the beginning of the show, which as a child we're blessed with, our birthright, if we're going to be sincere about valuing those gifts, we have to find where we draw the line. And in drawing that line, it must be principled enough for you to live by. And when I look at the different aspects of spirituality And I feel like we, a lot of people are not reaching that perspective.
Brother Davis, it's quite simple.
Yeah.
We just up against a break. I'm sorry. Let me say this before we go to the break. Again, the telephone number is 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-POUND. Hit star 6-1 anytime that you would like to comment on air. Today is Wednesday, so that means it is Wise Wednesday here on Tando Radio Show. You were talking earlier about humanism, and after you reply, we'll go to the break, and I'll just wait for your cue. But you were talking about humanism. I live by one spiritual principle. You call it spiritual principle. They can call it a law, whatever word they want to assign to it. And that's just simply treat people like I want to be treated. And I try to do that. I don't want people to give me bad information, so I don't give people bad information. I don't. If I was in a prison, if I was a modern day slave, I would want people to work to get me out of slavery. So that's why I do New Abolitionist Radio, which comes on tonight after Tando Radio Show. So I mean, it to me, it's that simple. It's not complicated. If you don't want it done to you, then don't do it to others. It's just that simple for me, Brother Davis.
But Scotty, that is what being human is. It's no more or no less. See, they changed the concept to make it look difficult, but it's really as simple as you conveyed it. And the best part about it is anybody can operate in it. People choose not to, and then we know that very well, but it's no harder than what you just articulated, brother. Here's the best part, that some people can find the joy in just that, being human to other humans. And the sad part about it is that, just as you reported, there is a perpetual nature of greed that elevates people's behavior to the level of savage based on what they can get. And they will be as savage as their nature dictates them to be in order to get whatever their greed desires. And this is just the times in which we live. If I had to choose, oh, I would love for the whole world to just treat humans as humans. And humanism would be thriving and well. But the truth is that humans have serviced greed so much that it has become a god. And literally, they will serve that god any way they can to service that greed in them. No more, no less. It's always simple. Okay, listen, we're ready to go to break. And this is Brother Davis on Wise Wednesday. Scott, feel free to call in and with your questions and bring us your experiences. It would be a great plus. So this is Brother Davis coming at you on Wise Wednesday.
Talk Media Project funds the use of new media technology in efforts to restore independent Black voices to the myriad of issues affecting Afro-descendant people all over the planet. If media can control the minds of the masses, as Malcolm X once said, then you must ask yourself, who is in control of the media targeting the masses of Black people today? Help bring back independence, self-determination, and respect for Black culture in the production of global media by joining the effort to crowdfund new Black media for the new millennium. Visit blacktalkmediaproject.org for more information on how you can invest in public black radio for the masses.
Brother Davis, we're back. Y'all might have muted yourselves.
Sorry about that, Scotty. I had muted myself and then unmuted it. Sorry, because I know that you could hear because you muted us. Sorry about that. I totally forgot. Listen, everyone. Hey, I don't have much time with Brother Davis, so it's very important that we're going to have to end the show just a little bit earlier because I have some obligations that I have to make today, and Brother Davis is just here for a short time. So we will pick this up throughout the week, and just so that you know, my family can have some time with the Davis family. He conveys his, he says, you know, thank you and loves you all. So I had to kind of end the show just a little bit early so that we can actually, I can have some time with Brother Davis while he's here. Because, you know, this is the first time, and so I just want to take advantage of it, which you all can definitely understand. So I just want to thank you all for being a part of Tando Radio Show. We will be back tomorrow with a live show, God willing. So if you would just offer us that time, because it's, you know, it's very important that we, you know, have the fellowships that we need to have, because Brother Davis is only here for a couple of hours. And, so we just need some things that we need to also take care of. So just want to say much love, much respect to you all. We want to, end the show out now, unless, you know, if Scotty wants to, that's fine.
No, you go ahead and end the show. We'll be back on air at 8 o'clock,
yep,
with New Abolitionist Radio, and then Lotus Place later on tonight. So we got a full night of programming, as we've had a full day of programming. So just go ahead and end it, Brother Dave. I totally understand that.
Sure. I appreciate it. And I can't wait to actually meet Scotty, and we're going to do that too. So much love to you all, and much respect. There's never goodbye. As always, I'll see you later. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.
The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.